Exodus 31 on Through the Word, Moses continues his stay atop Mount Sinai with the Lord. The instructions for the tabernacle's design are complete. But how is it to be made? To answer that, this chapter introduces one of the Bible's great dynamic duos, Bezalel and Oholiab. And speaking of dynamic duos, Peyton Jones is with me.
Okay, so who's Batman and who's Robin? Before you answer that, let's get into the text. Verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him.
So now we know. The Israelites themselves will make the tabernacle. The craftsmen will bring their skills to bear as they build a place for God to meet them. And God calls out two men in particular that he has chosen to lead the project as foremen, Bezalel and Oholiab. And notice how God says of Bezalel, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And not only that, but with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and skills. Those are gifts from God given with a purpose. And the Spirit will work through the craftsmen to align their skills with God's purposes.
It's interesting to note that once the tabernacle is operational, only the Levites will be allowed to enter in and maintain the tent. But before that, a Judahite and a Danite are the ones in charge. God takes their natural God-given craftsmanship and skill and anoints it with the Spirit. And the result is a creativity that honors God. In verse 4, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze. That's jewelers, metalsmiths, and woodworkers.
For us, these craftsmen represent that amazing confluence of two powerful elements, God-given talent and Spirit-filled ministry. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means being equipped by God with the ability and filled by God's presence with the power to do exactly what God wants done. It is God working through you. Both Bezalel and Oholiab are filled with the Spirit because God has a special task for them. They are to be leaders among the craftsmen in building the tabernacle. The tabernacle is to be set apart as holy, so those building it also must be set apart as holy. Verse 6 continues, also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant law, with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent.
What a beautiful picture. God pours out his Spirit on these men to do their jobs with excellence, and he still does it today. The Holy Spirit fills us as we invite him in, and we are called to go about our work or school or whatever we do for his glory. Our lives and work also radiate his beauty and glory as we become his mobile dwelling place. The other striking thing in this chapter is that it shows God's heart for creativity. God wants worship to be breathtakingly beautiful. All of the five senses play a part in Israel's worship. The sounds, the sights, the aromas, the taste of the sacrifice on the tongue, the hands-on experience of sacrifice. Worship in the Old Testament was no spectator sport. It was a participatory sport where everyone played. And there's a lesson for us today. Worship involves every part of our lives. It permeates everything. In the New Testament, Paul says, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Your daily work can be worship.
Now, verse 12 seems to switch topics a bit, jumping into a section on the Sabbath. But it makes sense. After all that talk of work, the Lord switches to rest. Be sure to rest. The Lord says to Moses in verse 13, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy."
You know, Chris, I've seen a shirt that says, "Jesus napped in the boat. Be like Jesus. Take naps." Rest is important. The Sabbath was the seventh day, the day commemorating the seventh day of creation, when God himself rested from his works. I'm glad that God clarifies here that even those who are serving God need to take their rest. It would be easy for these craftsmen to think that they could keep working on the Sabbath because they were doing God's work.
Now, I have to admit, this is hazy territory for church leaders like us. With Sunday as our big ministry day and often preparing sermons on Saturday, and with many of us working other jobs to pay the bills, that Sabbath day off becomes more and more elusive. So I really appreciate that God puts this reminder here, right after choosing these gifted servants for such an amazing work for him. They are reminded that everyone needs a Sabbath day. And notice that the Sabbath is more than just balance in life. For Israel, the Lord says, "It will be a sign between you and me, so you may know that I am the Lord." Every Sabbath break will remind the workers who God is. And once a week, they are given an all-day reminder that this is ultimately his work, that he is the Lord, that he gives them the skills, the abilities, the opportunity, and the calling, that he alone makes them holy.
The chapter ends with verse 18. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God.
So at last, 40 days on the mountain have come to a close. The Lord has finished speaking to Moses. But before Moses heads back, God gives him something. This is a Bible rarity. The Lord gives a physical object to a man. The two tablets of the covenant law. Stand there with Moses for a moment. God has given him two stone tablets with his own handwriting.
So these two stones are most likely one for Israel and one for God. In ancient covenants, each party would take a copy of the covenant with them as a reminder of the agreement. It's where we get our expression, written in stone. It was kind of like a copy of a signed contract that was not meant to be changed. God, the covenant keeper, writes this contract with his finger, cutting through the stone like a hot knife through butter. How will this covenant-keeping God, who writes his law in stone, be able to preserve a covenant relationship with human beings? Well, we leave the chapter with Moses holding the two tablets, reading his descent down the hill. And we'll see you in chapter 32 to find out what happens when he gets to the bottom.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.